Are you dealing with a challenging child? We'll share strategies that really work. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to life.
Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, the perplexed parent. Are you dealing with a challenging child? We'll help you discover strategies that really work, regardless of what age your child is. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
You know, first of all, let's just say, from the get-go, if you're a perplexed parent or you have those moments of being perplexed about what you should be doing with your children, their behavior, the way they're living, the way they're talking to you, oh, it goes on and on and on. It's fine to be perplexed, because the problem with raising children is that as soon as we feel like we're getting it right, they hit another stage and stuff shifts or something happens in their lives and we're dealing with another developmental stage or another social problem or another fill in the blank. But the call from God is to not remain in a state of confusion and being perplexed and not knowing what to do to the point where we throw our hands up and release our anger and frustration and then think we've done something and move on, which we all do from time to time because raising children can be frustrating. It's about taking those questions to the Lord, taking your questions even to your children and your spouse, and praying through it and figuring out what God is calling you to in those next steps. Now, that's a really nicely summarized way of handling this whole thing, but we each have different children. They all have different needs. They're all at different times in their lives. And so when you have those questions, you can give us a call and we'll help you figure it out for that particular child, your particular family, so that you can bring the grace of God and more love and peace into your home. Give us a call today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
And, of course, we're handling parenting dilemmas with kids at every age and stage. So whether you're having a hard time meeting your baby's needs and your own, or you're struggling with your little one's tantrums, your school-aged child's disobedience or lack of follow-through, or your teen's defiance or bad attitude, or for that matter, the choices your adult child is making, we want to help you find effective ways to respond. Because parenting never gets easier, no matter how old our kids are. So let us help you be a less perplexed parent and find those grace-filled solutions that you're looking for. The number 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. And, you know, Lisa, as we're reflecting on this, you know, it occurs to me that one of the biggest surprises in parenting for me was how it doesn't really ever end. No, I mean, it sounds funny to say it that way, I guess. But I mean, you know, you think that when your kids grow up and become adults, that you'll be done parenting in some ways. And, of course, parenting changes.
No, very much.
But you're still concerned about your kids, and you're still involved in their lives. And
God's still calling you to be an influence and a mentor on them.
You know, and so as we went through all the different stages, I just kind of kept thinking, it's going to get easier from here, right? And it really doesn't. That doesn't mean it's bad. But it does mean that we're constantly being challenged to grow in ways that God needs us to grow so that we can be the parent our kid needs us to be. You know, it's, and we talk about this actually in Parenting Your Kids with Grace and Parenting Your Teens and Tweens with Grace, that we have a chapter in the book on parenting as a healing enterprise. You know, yeah. The idea that parenting isn't just about us training up our children. It's also about God calling out things in us that need to be addressed or healed or improved upon or strengthened so that we can be the mom or dad that he wants us to be for our kids.
Yeah.
Because as Christians, we know that our kids don't belong to us. You know, they're sort of on loan to us, but we all belong to God. And so we need to go to God every day and ask him what kind of a parent he wants us to be. But, you know, that's not easy to do, and it's a constant learning experience regardless of how old our kids might be.
Well, and I think your point is so important because part of what really flabbergasts us in being parents, all of us, you know, if we could just read, you know, we got a new dishwasher recently because, of course, you know, major appliances have to break down in the midst of big family gatherings and holiday times. And when it came, you know, everything's computerized now. So it was the first time I actually had to sit down and like really look at the manual of like, how does this even work? You know, what is the computer thing that I have to do with this? And it would be great if we could just always do that. And there are certain things, you know, certain practices that really do work no matter what you're dealing with in parenting. But what always flummoxes us, for the most part, when we find ourselves getting enraged, when we find ourselves feeling at a loss, when we find ourselves truly deeply confused, is that something, some wound, some message from somebody, some belief about ourselves or family gets in the mix of all of that and makes it more confusing and harder to be a parent. But God's never going to leave you in the midst of that. He's saying, hey, this is not cool. This is not good. This is not something I wanted for you. So let me help you heal it. And then you can heal a whole new generation as well. And that's a beautiful promise from God. Let's put that into practice in your family today and in your heart and mind. Give us a call today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And if you're wondering what that is and how it could possibly help you be a less perplexed parent, well, you've come to the right place. You know, St. John Paul gave a series of reflections that looked at how we could discover God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships, especially marriage and family relationships, by prayerfully reflecting on God's design and creation.
The Theology of the Body reminds us that families are supposed to be schools of love and virtue. The lessons we learn from how our parents treat us become the unconscious rules we follow in our adult relationships. And this is especially true in regard to discipline, because the way we handle our children's misbehavior establishes lifelong habits in the way they'll handle conflict and disagreement with their future spouse and children, and maybe even other people, like in their workplace. And likewise, although most families don't realize it, the way Catholic parents handle conflict with their children is an important building block of family spirituality. Whenever we have to correct our kids, we need to ask God to help us to be our best selves and teach us how to bring out the best in our child.
You know, one of the most important things we can do to be more confident Catholic parents is get in the habit of praying before we correct our kids. You know, ideally, we want to pray with our kids, you know, by saying something like, you know, Lord, help me know how to be the parent my child needs me to be right now, and show them how much I love them. Help me really listen to their needs and concerns and know how to help them meet those needs in godly ways. And help them to be open to the way I'm trying to help. And then, you know, once you've prayed that together with your child, you can begin addressing whatever the problem might be together. You know, family life becomes a school of love and virtue that the church says it's supposed to be, not by us trying to figure out how to handle discipline issues and conflicts on our own, but by humbly admitting that all of us parents are learning as we go, and then asking God for the help we need to be the parents he wants us to be every day. So give us a call. Let us help you do exactly that at 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. Today's show is titled The Perplexed Parent, as we talk about dealing with a challenging child or challenging situations in parenting. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we ask you to help us to be the parents, the grandparents, the parents of adults that you are calling us to be, so that we can first show our children how much you love them, and that we can be open to understanding and listening to the needs that they have, the intentions they're trying to express, and cooperate with your grace to be able to train them in expressing those needs or meeting those intentions in healthy and godly ways. Help guide us every day, Lord, so that we can be the mothers and fathers that you want us to be and build the family lives that you are calling us to build, so that our homes can be witnesses to your grace and power in our lives. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the perplexed parent. Are you dealing with some parenting issues you're not quite sure how to handle? Whatever age or stage your kids are in, whether you're not sure how to meet your baby's needs and your own, you're struggling with either disobedience or lack of follow-through in your school-age kids' behavior, or your teen's defiance and bad attitude is getting you down, or your adult kids' choices are driving you crazy. We are here to help you with all those parenting dilemmas on our show titled The Perplexed Parent. 877-573-7825.
We have an email here from Sarah, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Nebraska. And she said, I'm very frustrated with myself. I worked very hard last summer to pick the perfect Catholic homeschooling program for my four children. Parts of it are working for some of the children, and the other parts just aren't. We end up with struggles academically and emotionally every day. I've had other homeschooling moms tell me to pick and choose what works and not stick with one program because our state doesn't require it. But I feel so guilty that I spent so much money, and I feel like if I was a better mom and teacher, I could make it work. What should I be doing? And that's Sarah in Nebraska.
Well, Sarah, thank you so much for the question. And, you know, we do have a lot of experience in the homeschooling area.
We do indeed.
We homeschooled all of our kids.
All of our kids through high school. High school, yeah.
And, you know, it's not for everybody, but it's a wonderful option for those who are able to do it.
But it takes a little trial and error. And I have to say that I was a classroom teacher before I was a homeschooling teacher. And even in a classroom setting, you know, there are the state-mandated books or the books that were picked by the Board of Education or, you know, whoever picks the books for a particular school system. But there are very few teachers who just go with exactly what is in the book in a robotic way. Why? A, because it's boring. And B, because we all know that every child in our classroom learns a little differently and needs different structure and different emphasis on different styles of learning. So just because you work so hard to find a great program doesn't mean you're doing anything wrong. If some of those things are working, you've done something right. First of all, neither of us are priests, but as a former homeschooling mother myself, I'm going to absolve you of that guilt. All right. And Greg had to do this for me early on, too. If I would spend money on a particular part of a program or something like that, I would. It would be hard for me to say, whoa, the ads for this were great. Or it worked for the lady down the street, but it's not working for our kids. And just put it in the pile for our homeschool co-op and say, hey, this is free. Take it and start with something new. I want you to remember that the most important thing in your homeschooling is that you are working to help your children learn while they become disciples of Christ. And you do that through having a good relationship with them, a closeness, a warmth, even in your homeschooling situation. And you just work on helping them learn what they need to learn for state requirements, but also what really sets them on fire in terms of loving learning. When you do that, they will grow up to be good students in whatever really excites them. They will have a great relationship with you, and most of all, they will learn to learn. And once you teach them how to learn, so you teach them how to read, you teach them how to research, you teach them how to go after subjects that they love, they will learn beautifully. Don't sacrifice that warmth, that openness to learning, that relationship that you're building in your family and your family with God for spending some money on a curriculum. You can homeschool by just going to the library every day. You don't actually have to spend a ton of money. But don't be hard on yourself because of this, because it's just one more step. So do the things that work from the curriculum. Supplement with other things or supplement with trips to the library and real books, and it will work out. And next year, or even if you want to start this semester again, go with something that makes you all feel closer to each other and God while you're learning.
Well, thank you so much for the question. And, you know, for you and for all of our listeners, you know, this is all these parenting questions that we're dealing with today are the kinds of things we deal with every day on the Catholic HOM app. That's Catholic Home. It stands for Households on Mission, the Catholic HOM app. Every day, Lisa and I and our entire team of pastoral counselors are on the app providing parenting coaching and answering your questions about the parenting dilemmas you're facing with your kids of every age and stage. Plus, you can get tons of creative resources to have a more loving, caring, connected Catholic household on mission and live your faith more meaningfully at home. Plus, tons of resources and all the support you need from a really supportive, informed community of parents just like you. So become a subscriber to the Catholic HOM app. It's only $149 for the year or $14.95 a month with the first month free. Check it out today. Catholic HOM, available wherever you get your apps, and we'll see you there. Right now we're going to take a break, but when we come back, we're continuing to take your calls on our show titled The Perplexed Parent. If you're dealing with a challenging child at any age or stage, let us help you find graceful ways to respond. Stick around for more More to Life and your calls coming up right after the break.
Ave Maria Radio's Good News Cruise is more popular than ever. Every year, couples testify how their marriages are revitalized and transformed. The 2026 cruise is already three-quarters full, so if you want to join, now is the time. Special guests include musicians Andrea Bocelli, Matt Maher, Sarah Kroger, and John Ignatie, as well as hosts from Ave Maria Radio. Fun, romance, devotion. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the travel tab to find out more.
He is honored by the Church as a saint with the title of the Angelic Doctor.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Thomas Aquinas wrote a basic textbook for young theology students that became the Church's most famous guide to the faith, the Summa Theologica. It helped him earn the title Doctor of the Church. He died in 1274.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. By asking for spiritual communion, we are acknowledging that the Holy Mass is the perfect, best way to worship God. The priest intercedes perfectly for us with God the Father because he acts in persona Christi. This is the time to see that through the priest's representation of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary, we are never separated from our Lord. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
My daughter told me she was published in a scientific journal as an undergrad. I'm so proud of her. The world needs Catholic physicists, and my daughter's going to be one of them.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled The Perplexed Parent, as we talk about dealing with our challenging children at any age or stage, from infancy through adulthood. Parenting never gets any easier, but let us help you be a less perplexed parent by connecting you with those grace-filled solutions that you're looking for. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Margarita, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Sirius XM 130.
Hi, Margarita. Welcome to Word to Life. How can we help you out today?
Yes, I am the perplexed grandmother, and
okay.
I have three children, or the grandchildren, should I say, but the problem that I'm having right now is with my middle child, who is almost 12. We had an incident. He's kind of out of control with his behavior and stuff, you know, stuff like that, and I can't get him to do what he's supposed to do. And I had picked him up after school, he and his older brother, who has the autism, and they immediately start fighting, hitting each other. So, of course, I'm yelling and trying to stop them from doing all that, and to no avail. So, anyway, by that time, I'm getting very, very angry. What happened is I had a bag of treats in the front of my car, and he said he was hungry and he wanted that bag, you know, and I said, no, wait till you get home. And he proceeded to grab the bag, and I got it and put it on the other side of my leg, on my left side near the door. And as I was driving, he was he had gotten out of the seatbelt and came across, you know, to my level, and had his arms across my face where I couldn't, you know, obstructing my view. And I was afraid I'd have a wreck, and I kept telling him to move his arm, and he would not listen. And I honestly couldn't stop anywhere. And so anyway, I bit his arm. And that, I know I should have done that, but I did it, but I didn't fight very hard. But nonetheless, it's something that I would never have done, you know, at all, period. And as soon as I did it, I was very remorseful. But he was still mad at me, and he hit me in the arm. And, of course, I'm still dealing with the bruise of that and the soreness of my arm. But anyway, The problem is that he, after we got home, he wasn't crying, but he was upset, just very angry at me. And he was rubbing his arm, and of course I couldn't see what I had done, and he was rubbing it, and he had a little scab on the arm near that area, and he scratched it real hard that it started bleeding. Not a whole lot, but just enough. And so then when he showed me, it looked
so not the bite. It wasn't the bite that was bleeding. It was he had another scratch with a scab on it, and he rubbed that scab off.
That's what I'm thinking it was, because after everything was washed off, there was no bite mark or anything. He wouldn't even, I mean, I did not bite that hard. You know, it's just the fact that he was upset that I bit him. And
sure.
After I got home, you know, I looked at it and I apologized to him. I said, I would never have done that, but you were trying to make me have, you were going to make me have a wreck. And I was afraid, and I couldn't get him to get his arm out of the way. So anyway, that doesn't excuse what I did, but that's what happened. Now the problem is that he's forgiven me. He's fine and dandy now as far as, you know, us talking, whatever. Now my daughter is mad at me. When I called her at work to ask her where the ointment was to put on his arm, you know, I told her what happened, and after that, she just got silent with me. And
how long ago was this now? I mean, so
it
was this recently?
It happened 2 weeks
okay.
ago.
Okay. So has this? So
talked.
Where do things stand now? She said you're not allowed to see your grandson or something, or like where do things stand now, or what's your question for us?
Well, me and my grandson, I mean, we're talking every day just like normal, but I mean, he was not. I mean, he doesn't have this angry thing all the time, except when he does get mad, he gets super mad. And, you know, they haven't done anything to discipline him. And, of course, I'm sure my daughter's way in over her head with him. And plus, she's got a 14-year-old autistic son who's got his own problems.
Sure.
And she's, you know,
so
that too.
Just because I got 2 minutes before we got to go to break, what's your question for us so I can.
Well, my daughter hasn't spoken to me, and I've been trying to, you know, find out. I wanted to tell her my part of it, and she won't listen to me. So I have been 2 weeks just buried in my room and not coming out. And, you know, she comes in there for whatever reason she needs to, but she doesn't.
So you live in the same household? You all live together?
Yeah, they moved in with me because they were having problems with finances and stuff. And okay. So they moved in with me so they could find something else. And, right now the way the housing market is, it's not going to be possible yet. So
sure.
Why are you hiding in your room?
If I go into the room where they are, they don't say a word. I mean, it's just complete silence. You get up in the morning and I would say something.
Well,
like,
I mean, but still, you don't want to hide out in your room. I mean, I think.
No, I don't.
So let me jump in here, because again, I've got like less than a. So what we're going to do is we're going to carry this over to the next segment. So I'll give you some feedback when we come back from our break. So when we come back, we'll be talking more with Margarita and offering some suggestions for how to approach her daughter after this really, unfortunate grandparenting situation. Because look, we all can do foolish things sometimes when our emotional temperatures get up. And the situation that Margarita was describing, is obviously,
not a lot of fear and confusion and a lot going on.
Yeah, but even so, there are ways to handle these problems that are appropriate and ways that aren't. And her daughter just shutting her out and Margarita just hiding out for the last 2 weeks, obviously not the best way to go. So we're going to talk with Margarita a little bit more about how she can approach the situation with her daughter moving forward. But we're taking your calls as well at 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. We're talking about the perplexed parent today on More to Life and helping you resolve those parenting dilemmas with your kids of every age and stage, from infancy through adulthood. 877-573-7825.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
Jesus Christ, as I say in my book, Extreme Makeover, Women Transformed by Christ, Not Conformed to the Culture, is the biggest woman's liber that ever walked the earth. He was well ahead of his time in the way he related to women, the way he spoke to women, the way he included women in his ministry. If you don't believe me, go to the Gospel of John and read the encounter of the Samaritan woman. Jews did not mix with Samaritans. And yet there Jesus was sitting in a well. The Samaritan woman comes along. And she is coming at the middle of the day because she's living a very, very questionable life. She's coming to the well to avoid the looks and the stares and the comments and the gossip. She comes at midday when pretty much no one be around, except there is God waiting for her at the well.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
John chapter 11, verses 21 to 26. This is the story of Lazarus. Lazarus has died. Lazarus is one of his best friends. Just before this passage, we hear the news that Martha and Mary send word to Jesus that the one you love is sick. And the next line in the scripture is, now because Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus, he stayed where he was. His friend's in need. He can heal. They've seen him heal before. And yet somehow, because he loves him, he stays. And Lazarus dies. And then Jesus shows up 3 days later and is greeted by Martha and Mary, who confront him with the words, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would never have died. Rather applicable for many of us in our lives. We ask the Lord to do one thing because we're certain it is what we think is best, when in fact he has something which far surpasses what we ask for. Challenge is, in waiting for that to happen, we go through very trying times, which oftentimes makes us wonder, does he really care?
Hi there, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Imagine being married to someone who regularly goes out of their way to make your life easier and more pleasant. Someone who's willing to make little sacrifices just to see you smile. It's as if this person said, I do to the marriage, not just on your wedding day, but every day. Relationship experts call these qualities emotional rapport and benevolence. Research by the Gottman Institute found that healthy couples maintain a 20-to-1 ratio of these sorts of positive interactions when they're not in conflict. Can you imagine how that might affect a marriage? According to Gottman, couples with high levels of emotional support and benevolence are more likely to give one another the benefit of the doubt when one of them accidentally offends the other. Such couples are better at avoiding conflict and handling it more gracefully when it occurs. High levels of benevolence lead to greater trust, too, and that in turn leads to greater intimacy and sharing. Thankfully, even couples who don't have high levels of benevolence and emotional rapport can cultivate it. It all starts with finding those little ways of saying, I do, every day. Get more tips for building a strong marriage in my book, For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage, or for more personal support, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled The Perplexed Parent. As we talk about challenging children and how to manage them gracefully at every age and stage, are you struggling in your parenting relationship with your kids? Whether you're having a hard time meeting your baby's needs and your own, or you're struggling with your little's tantrums, your school-age child's disobedience or lack of follow-through, or your teen's defiance or bad attitude, or for that matter, maybe it's your adult kids that are making choices that you're just not sure what to do about. Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. Let me say
that again.
Try that again. Yeah, 877-573-7825. There we go. Well, before the break, we were talking with Margarita from Texas, and she, to kind of cut to the chase, her daughter is upset with her. Now, her daughter and her daughter's two children live with her in her home, and she helps with the kids. One of the children is on the autism spectrum, and the other one is not. But she was picking them up from school, and a situation happened that she regrets, where the one of the kids was basically freaking out in the back seat about something that she told him not to do.
Mm-hmm.
And she bit the kid as he was waving his hands in front of her face while she was driving. She regrets it. She's sorry for it. She's apologized for it. She recognizes that wasn't the way to handle it. But now the daughter won't speak to her and hasn't been speaking to her for the last 2 weeks. And so Margarita is hiding out in her room, she says, her words, kind of afraid to come out because every time she does, nobody will talk to her, even though, you know, she has a good relationship now with the grandson. So the question basically is how to handle the situation with the daughter, not speaking to her, and so I want, because there's a lot of different things I want to address here, but just for the sake of time, I want to focus on that piece of it. All right, I said to you, why would you hide out in your room? And you know, you said because it's awkward and it's uncomfortable. Well, of course it is, but it's also your home. You know, they're living in your home. And they owe you a certain amount of respect and a certain amount of willingness to kind of work through things as a family. I'm concerned, like, you know, this is part of what I see as the problem with the parenting thing too. That you know, you guys are focusing on addressing behavior without trying to identify the intention behind it. So, for example,
and also it's in the moment behavior instead of having a bigger plan.
Yeah. So that probably doesn't make sense. Let me back up. You know, so for your daughter, all right, what your position as the mom here has to be with your adult daughter is: look, I understand you're upset with me, but ignoring me isn't okay. So I'm here. You're going to have to deal with me. I'm going to keep being in your face until we're willing to talk through this. I am sorry for what I did, but you acting like this is completely unacceptable. So, you know, let's all be grown-ups here and talk through this and deal with this as the grown-ups we are. And you come out and you live your life and you be in her face and you be around in her space and you deal with it, because that's what grown-ups do, right? And if she's not willing to, then you kind of pressure it and say, look, you're living in my house. And I love you, and I want to be here to support you, and I did make a mistake. But we need to talk through that and work through it together so that we can be a family living in this home together as people who love and respect each other, and this is not okay. This is especially not how grown-ups deal with problems.
And the next step to that is to say, and to come up with a good behavior management plan so we're all on the same page, because we could have all died in a car wreck with the behavior that was going on. I regret how I handled it, but it came out of that fear that we could all die in a car wreck. we need to come up with a good behavior management plan so we're on the same page to help both the children be the best people that they can be.
Which leads to the second thing, where all y'all are overwhelmed and none of you know how to handle these kids. And you need to be getting some professional help for that. I really want to encourage you to seek family counseling. You know, you mentioned to our screener that the 11-year-old, who is not the one who's on the spectrum, has quote unquote always been challenging. I want to, you know, even though we're talking about challenging children on the show, I want to be clear about something. I want to encourage our listeners to avoid that temptation to say my child is broken, my child is challenging, there's something wrong with this kid. That's what being a kid is. They don't know how to do anything.
Anything.
They don't know how to behave. They don't know what they don't know how to follow through on things.
They don't know how to control an emotion. Nothing. It's up to us as their guiding adults to teach them step by step.
Being challenging is part of the job description of being a child. It's our job to learn the skills we need to help them be less challenging. And if we don't know how to do that, that's not their fault. Okay? That's our responsibility to get new skills. So, you know, neither you nor your adult daughter know how to handle these kids, and you're taking it out on each other now, which kind of, again, speaks to the lack of relationship skills that you all have, which is why I said I think you all need to be really seeking family counseling together to handle each other better, as well as handling these kids, because you can't give what you don't have.
Yeah, and I want you to hear very clearly, Margarita, or anybody else who's finding themselves in similar situations, none of us have parenting skills to begin with. We have to avail ourselves of anything out there to teach us how to do this step by step and to build that relationship with our children. You know, and let's take this back from behavior for a minute. There's nothing that your children do from the beginning that they know how to do. They don't know how to use a potty. They don't know how to put on shoes. They don't know how to hold a fork.
They don't know how to navigate conflict with their autistic brother.
They don't know anything. But I want to look at those physical skills. We don't ever say, you know, he's never known how to put on his shoes from day one. He's never going to know how to put on his shoes. With just getting through the day human behaviors, we say, we're going to have to keep helping him put on his shoes and practicing doing this until he can do it by himself. And that may take 7 or 8 years of his life to do. But when it comes to anything that's emotional, we get so flooded, as you did, rightly so, in that situation, Margarita. You were flooded because of the fear. And we get to that place and we just have no idea how to do this. How to teach controlled, reasoned behavior to children and know that it's going to take practicing year after year after year until they become well-formed, more adult human beings. But we can get those skills, and they can learn it from us just the same way we can learn how to teach them how to walk and talk and put on shoes and brush their teeth.
You know, and just to kind of build on this, you know, after that debacle in the car, you know, you, what needed to happen was for some kind of follow-up on the home front. And based on your story that you gave there was nothing there that would teach him how to handle the situation better in the future. You know, you got caught up in the fact that you'd made a boneheaded mistake, like all parents do from time to time, and you apologized for that. But then he got away with it all, right? So nobody learned anything from this. So that's my point, is that with your daughter, you need to be more forceful, and really kind of say, look, I this is not an acceptable way for adults to handle conflict. I understand that you're upset with me, but you can't freeze me out. You can't ignore me, especially because you're living in my house, and we owe each other that respect to be grown-ups with each other and work through our stuff.
But we all deserve to have a calm, happy, healthy family, and the boys both need all the help they can be to be the growing men of God that they're called to be. And that's our job. You know, we're living here together. That's our job to do this. Let's get on the same page about this and get the skills we need to really help raise them well.
So I'm going to encourage you with that. If you're looking for resources, our book, Parenting Your Kids with Grace, it covers birth through 11 and parenting your teens and tweens with grace, goes from 11 to 18. Both of those are available at CatholicCounselors.com. But I will encourage you to seek some more professional assistance with the family life because of the kinds of relationship problems that you're describing, both with your grandkids and with your daughter. There are ways through all of this. And so if you'd like to work on that, and reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com or, you know, seek some local resources.
But as I said at the top of the show, all of these situations are God saying, I love you and I want to heal you. To your whole family, he loves you. He wants to bring healing. He wants to bring peace. He wants to bring right order to your family life so you can all love each other well and do the job he's asked you to do with his grace. So lean into that, Margaret. It really is an invitation from God. Please accept it, and I know it will be fruitful if you do.
All right, we're going to head out to break, but I just wanted to remind our listeners on the Catholic HOM app every day, Lisa and I and our whole team of pastoral counselors work with families just like you in taking their questions, providing coaching. You can ask any parenting question or marriage question, for that matter, that you have. We're happy to provide ongoing coaching on the Catholic HOM app, in addition to providing you with tons of creative resources to help you experience the faith as the source of the warmth in your Catholic HOM household on mission. Download the Catholic Home app today and become a subscriber to Catholic Home, a member of the community. We'd love to see you there and continue the conversation that we're starting here on the air on the app. So download Catholic HOM. It's $149 for the year and only $14.95 a month. Check it out. With that, we have to go to break, and as we do, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6.
Train your child in the way he should go, so that even when he is old, he will not depart from it.
And, you know, I picked this verse, you know, we're all familiar with it. But I think that as I was praying about this earlier, we have a tendency to read this verse as, you know, well, train your child. And we all think we did that. And, of course, it does say that. But the other part of the little nuance that I picked up as I was praying through this verse this morning, the idea that train up your child in the way he should go so that when he's old, he won't depart from it. In other words, make sure that you're using methods that stick. Don't just tell your child what to do. We don't train our children by telling them. We train our children by using those methods that help those lessons stick, by creating structures and support. Think about training up a plant. Right? You don't just tell the plant to grow straight. you have to give it a structure, yeah. And you have to let it grow up around that structure, and sometimes you have to move it around a little bit, and you provide that support until that plant can stand on its own. We train up children in a similar way, not by telling them to be straight, to straighten up, but by supporting them in making that happen so that they can finally stand on their own. So this verse doesn't just tell us to train our kids. It tells us to do it in a way and use those methods that help our lessons last. We talk more about that in our books, Parenting Your Kids with Grace and Parenting Your Teens and Tweens with Grace, as well as on the Catholic HOM app. So check it out if you want more support in living that verse out in your life. With that, we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. The show today is titled The Perplexed Parent, as we talk about dealing with kids at every age and stage, whether you're having a hard time meeting your baby's needs and your own, or struggling with your little's tantrums, your school-age child's disobedience or lack of follow-through, your teen's defiance or bad attitude, or your adult kid's choices that are driving you a little bit crazy. We want to help you be a less perplexed parent by helping you find those grace-filled solutions that you're looking for those parenting dilemmas. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls coming up right after the break.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Where are servants of prayer? The Christian family is the first place of education in prayer, says the Catholic Catechism. The family is the domestic church where children learn to pray and to persevere in prayer. Ordained ministers are also responsible for forming their brothers and sisters in prayer. Many in the religious life have consecrated their whole lives to prayer. The consecrated life is sustained by prayer and is one of the living sources of contemplation and spiritual life of the Church. Catechesis aims to teach all members of the Church to meditate on the Word of God in personal and liturgical prayer, internalizing it in order to bear fruit in a new life. Prayer groups and spiritual direction can also be powerful tools in the practice of prayer. A spiritual director should be chosen with great care, for as St. John of the Cross warns, as the Master is, so will the disciple be. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled The Perplexed Parent, as we talk about dealing with parenting dilemmas at every age and stage. Whether you are dealing with a little or a teenager or an adult kid, we want to help you find the solutions that you're looking for at 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Pat, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio on Sacred Heart Radio.
Hi, Pat. Welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I earlier used to mention a prayer that might be helpful. I have been wanting to have the courage to have prayer with my almost 40-year-old son. He has bipolar with cannabis use, which makes him have episodes with psychotic.
Sure.
And yeah, because of his episodes where he is grandiose and sometimes thinks he's God and stuff, I keep getting messages from God and to pray with him, but I have been hesitant. He seems to be more stable right now, not kind of living a half life, you know. Not
is he in some kind of treatment? Really. Does he have a support system around him?
Well, he's living with a friend, and he has access to medication, and he's just in denial again. So,
he's not getting help right now.
He's not accepting help right now. I'm aware of. I talked to him periodically, but you said a prayer earlier, and if you could repeat it.
The prayer you're referring to was in our kind of opening reflection, and really it wasn't a formula prayer. It was just the prayer, you know, Lord, help me know how to be the parent that my son, you know, in your case, needs me to be, the parent you want me to be. Show me what that would mean in the face of this particular challenge. I mean, so, you know, the theology of the body talks about something called receptivity. And that's basically just the idea of being able to be in the moment and aware of what the Holy Spirit is prompting us to do. And that takes practice. But it begins with that openness to the movement of the Holy Spirit by bringing each individual situation to God and saying, okay, Lord, how do I respond to this? You know, this is what I'm, so to use your example, Lord, I'm feeling in my heart that I should be praying with my son. But I'm really concerned because of his history and his diagnosis, and, you know, sometimes he's even thought he was God. You know, would praying with him be effective, or should I be praying for him? You know, and help me beyond that, help me to know how to respond on a practical level to the various challenges that he presents. And so, don't just pray that in general, pray specifically about the challenge of the day. you know, and learning how to deal with him. Whenever you talk to him and he says something that doesn't square and you're not sure how to support him, you know, be praying through that. Lord, help me know how to respond to this situation and be the mom he needs me to be right now. Right. And so, you know, you're facing a very, you know, challenging situation. Of course, he, as an almost 40-year-old adult, you can't force him to accept help for the bipolar or the psychotic behavior, psychotic symptoms, excuse me, that he's experiencing. But one of the things that you can do, of course, is continue praying, not just for him, but for God to teach you how to respond more effectively to him, and maybe even getting some help yourself, because even if you're not the one, quote-unquote, with the problem, you're dealing with an extraordinary situation here that there aren't good rule books for. And so anytime a person is dealing with an extraordinary situation, it's time to bring in some extraordinary resources, you know, resources that go beyond the normal things you would rely on. And so, you know, maybe you want to seek some professional help on an ongoing basis to know, you know, how to deal with him better and what you can share with him and what you can't share with him and what boundaries you need to set and when you need to let those things go. So just as a suggestion, because it's hard to deal with this by yourself.
It really is, because when you're dealing with anybody who's having psychotic episodes, you really just get bounced all over the place. You know, don't blame this on yourself. Like, you end up feeling so skewed in your emotions, you know, from one minute to the next when something new happens. So truly, please be gentle with yourself, but do get the support you need.
All right. Thank you so much, Pat, for the question. We did have a question come in from Janet in Texas. She was saying that her son and daughter-in-law are homeschooling their 6-year-old grandson. That Janet's a grade school teacher and feels like her grandson might be falling behind, but she's a little apprehensive to bring it up, as you might imagine, and she was wondering how or if she should say something.
Well, it's always hard to know as grandparents if we should say anything, especially if we're afraid it's going to come off as a criticism. So a lot of it depends on the rapport you have with your son and daughter-in-law to begin with. If you're very close, if they ask you for different teaching techniques or advice in teaching their son, then you could definitely take a look at that. I wish you'd been able to stay on, and please feel free to call back at some point, because I'd like to know what your concerns are. He's only 6 years old, which is the first year you have to even tell the state of Texas that you're homeschooling. So really knowing what kind of delays you think you're seeing would be helpful. You're not going to get a lot of support in terms of being able to say, hey, let's get him, you know, standardized tested at the end of the year to have something concrete, because you don't have to do any of those things in the state of Texas. You have a great deal of freedom in that situation. If you live close enough, spending time with him at their home, cuddling with him, reading together, doing, you know, things that you think would support his education in a fun and loving way would be a great way to be able to supplement his education, encourage them, and even bring up conversations that might need to be had.
Well, I think that's the first step is you know, using, you know, the time that you do have with him, hopefully you get some time with him, to be able to, you know, play with him in a way that addresses some of those skills, to use your skills as a teacher to try to bring out the best in him, you know, with different games or activities that would help him develop those things. And then you can share your experience with your daughter, about how and you know, about how he responded to that. Oh, we were doing this activity and, you know, he wasn't able to follow a whole page, but he was able to follow a paragraph and he did a really good job with this. I was really proud of him. And you're sharing with her how you're helping him succeed in those things that you're seeing challenges with, and that's giving her a little bit of a prompt that, oh, he can do this, and maybe my mother-in-law has some thoughts that she could share with me on how to help that.
The other thing I'd strongly encourage you to do is to have really loving, interested, non-judgmental conversations with them about what style of homeschooling they are using. There are a million different kinds out there. And so they might be using a style that's more gentle in the early years and then builds up. Ask them with enthusiasm so they can share their enthusiasm about how they're choosing to homeschool him with you. That'll give you a lot of insight into whether they're thinking ahead, what the system they're using is, that kind of thing.
Because the issue isn't so much where he's at right now, but is there a plan to get him to where he needs to be? And so by helping them, you know, by inviting them to tell you more about the way they homeschool, not in a, tell me more about the way you homeschool, but, you know, in an interested and you know, loving way, like Lisa was saying, you're able to kind of see, oh, all right, so this is where he's at right now, but this is their plan for getting him to where he needs to be. So by you being involved and using your skills to kind of play with him and bring out some of those skills and sharing that experience with your daughter-in-law, by learning more about the way they're approaching it, that leads to other conversations. But I think that's the best way to get in there. Don't avoid it altogether. But also don't come at it directly and say, well, I think your son is limited in some way. That's never going to go well, as you well know. So follow those suggestions, and if there's more that we can do for you, Janet, don't hesitate to reach out to us here. And listeners, thanks so much for tuning in. If you'd like more personalized parenting support on a daily basis, join the Catholic HOM app today. Become a subscriber to the Catholic Home community and get the everyday support that you need to be a more faithful, connected, caring, loving family. You can get the coaching support and all the resources you need to build a more dynamic Catholic household on mission. That's the Catholic HOM app. Or reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com so we can help you find those grace-filled ways to live a more abundant life. Thanks for tuning in.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.